Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to this week's episode of Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts Amelia
and Beth.
And wouldn't you know it, Beth, it's that time of year again.
And what time of year is that, Amelia?
Back to school season.
But we're all going virtually this year.
No, not everybody, but I'm sure we will be soon. Anyway, today we are talking about haunted colleges and universities of Massachusetts.
Yes, we are.
Now, Beth, you're an educator. This is kind of an interesting topic for you.
This really is. So we thought that this week would be a fun time to look at some well-known and lesser-known colleges around Massachusetts and their haunted stories.
Yes.
Especially, and I just want to put this out as a public service announcement, if you are going to come to college in Boston, the only thing you have to know before you get here is that moving trucks don't fit under the bridges on Sturrow Drive.
And Alston Christmas is a real holiday, and it needs the respect it deserves.
Bedbugs. Don't get anything from Alston Christmas. Don't do it. No way.
Okay, should we just start?
Absolutely.
All right. So the first story I have for everyone tonight comes from Bridgewater State University.
Now might that be near the Bridgewater Triangle?
You know, Beth Ellen, it is just smack dab in the middle of it.
This is going to be a really impressive set of stories then.
Bridgewater State University, and it only became a university pretty recently, right, Beth? Because when I was growing up, I always knew it as Bridgewater State College.
All the state colleges, Bridgewater, Framingham, Salem, they all added university to their official title probably 5 years ago, but they've always been a university.
All right. So definitely after I was applying for school. Yeah. Okay, so Bridgewater State University is the largest of 9 state universities in Massachusetts. Including its off-campus sites in New Bedford, Attleboro, and Cape Cod, Bridgewater State University has the 4th largest campus of the 29 institutions in the Massachusetts public higher education system. Did you know that?
I did not, no. But it makes sense.
It does. BSU's sports teams are called the Bears, which is kind of weird because there are no Bears in Bridgewater. But no, who cares?
There could be bears in the Bridgewater Triangle. We don't know that. There's an orangutan.
That's true, but people have seen the orangutan and no one has seen the bears. But you know what? I meant to bring this up last week. When I was at Tom Reed's park, the UFO Memorial Park, these people were walking around as we were going back to our car and the guy's like, yep, saw the bear again last night. And I was like, what, bear?
Maybe the bear is like a code word for something else.
I think it was a bear. They get bears out there.
Maybe.
They do. Lauren from Lauren and Mike, who have been on the show before, she's from Pittsfield. They have bears. Not often.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't think of there being bears in Massachusetts.
There are bears in Newton. When I had my coffee shop in Newton, there were 2 bears in Newton. Black Stop. Bears. Swear to God. It's God's honor. Google it. All right. Back to the story.
Okay.
The school's colors are crimson, white, and black, and it is incredibly haunted. Legend says that there was once a headmaster at the university who climbed up a roof to discipline some residents who were up there making a ruckus in the middle of the night. Yeah, it's college. We've all been there. Well, what we haven't all done is fallen off the roof, which is what this headmaster did. And now it is said he likes to linger inside, I'm going to say this wrong, Tillinghast. Tillinghast Hall? I don't know. It sounds kind of perverted, but it says in parentheses Tilly, so you call it Tilly Hall. Less weird. It is said that he likes to turn lights on and off and can be heard screaming at night. Next, on the 5th...
I hate unexplained screaming at night.
I know, right?
It's so upsetting.
So next, on the 5th floor of Shea Durgan Hall, lives a spirit that likes to tamper with shower water and abruptly changes it from scalding to freezing.
All right, that's just dangerous.
I know. Yeah, kind of. But also, like, I don't know. I lived in a
dorm. That could be like a flush toilet somewhere.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
many students have found their furniture on the fifth floor rearranged. And do you want to hear something really weird that this ghost likes to do, Beth?
No. I mean, yes.
Okay. When, if you have like a bunch of cans around, like canned food or like, let's say paint cans, any kind of cans hanging around.
Like empty beer cans?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I'm sure they have.
Or even full beer cans?
He will stack them up.
Well, that's nice of him. Does he take them to the recycling?
No, he just stacks them up, like up. Like you'll walk in and it'll all be
stacked up, one on top of each other.
Vertical.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, vertical. There's an urban legend that says a student was once choked to death in Shea Durgan Hall by her jealous boyfriend. And that resulted in another restless spirit there. And this is actually really horrific because students complain of hearing raised voices, gagging sounds, and generally just get a bad vibe when they go around there.
Oh.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah. Gagging sounds are worse than screaming sounds. I'm going to throw that out there.
Absolutely. Horrible. So in 1924, a fire broke out and burned down several structures, including the old Woodward Dormitory. So the official report from that time says that no one died in this fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, why would there be a ghost if no one died? But there's like a legend, and like what everyone was saying in Bridgewater is that someone did die. And it was the young lady who started the fire. Apparently she intentionally started this fire, went running around saying, fire, fire, everyone get out, like making a big like spectacle of this. And she ended up dying in it.
Hmm.
But there's no record. So either way, the incident is thought to explain why students here are disturbed by a ghost thumping on their doors and tripping the fire alarm. Okay, can I do a quick aside about that? My grandmother, she had fallen and she broke her shoulder. And it's upsetting, and I love you, Grandma, and please feel better soon. But when we moved her to the rehab facility, my grandmother is 88 years old. She's lived alone this whole time. She went to Regis College, which is a college we're going to cover later in the show. And when she got to rehab, she was just fed up. She had been in the hospital 6 days because of her shoulder, and now she has to go to rehab, and she didn't want to be there. And she's 88, and she's such a fire, like a fighter, that when she got there, she tried to pull the fire alarm. So they would let her out.
Yeah, that sounds like something your grandma would do.
God bless her. Oh, you gotta love the child's fighting spirit.
Yep.
Okay, so back to this ghost trying to hit the fire alarm. And that is that there was a ghost hunt. So some students got together with a local psychic, right? And they're like, let's go hunt ghosts. Kind of weird though, because when we've worked with psychics, I feel like psychics usually just like go in. Maybe they'll have a K2 or something. But this psychic, for whatever reason, had a spirit box with her. Okay. So they were using the spirit box. And as everyone knows, that's when the words kind of get spat out, right? So you ask questions and words kind of get spat out. And they said that the ghost was answering all the questions and that a couple times throughout it, it changed languages. There's no account of what language they started speaking. And I think that is extremely relevant because if all of a sudden the ghost starts talking in Latin, that's a problem. But if it's just talking in like Spanish, maybe that's someone from Spain.
Or any of the other countries where they speak Spanish.
Obviously. But I'm just saying Spain's one of them. Mm-hmm. But like Latin would be indicative of a demonic presence.
Well, so if we wanted to walk down this road and explore this, we would have to look at the age of demons, because Latin was the language of like established Christianity once it became like a big thing. But the very early Christians, they spoke Greek and Aramaic. And before that, people
were living in Bridgewater?
No. No one was living in Bridgewater.
So this ghost living in Bridgewater, if it were speaking in Latin, which is typically the language demonic spirits present as, it would more likely be a demonic spirit than an early Christian in Greece.
This is true, but a demonic spirit in Bridgewater would probably have spoken one of the Native American languages. They would have been tied to the land here in America. They wouldn't have been influenced by Latin language.
That's besides the point. The point is, why aren't they telling us what language it is?
Oh, I totally agree. Like that's the point. That seems strange. Like why wouldn't that be included? Unless it was just such an unknown language that they just really had no idea what.
But even that, wouldn't you be like, it seemed like an unknown language. And like, we've used spirit boxes before. Like if it's an unknown language, wouldn't you just think it was like static or nothing coming out of the spirit box? Mm, I feel like For you to know it was a language, you would have to like hear it. Like the spirit box would be being like croissant. And you'd be like, oh, it's a French ghost.
Something like that.
You know? Okay. So there's also a ghost supposedly named George who haunts the RCC auditorium and plays pranks on the students working there. I get the feeling that the students have named this ghost. I don't know of any record that it's George. I think they just like to call him George. So a former student.
Why George? If you got to go off on a tangent. Let me go off on a tangent for a second here. When my sister had her Ford Probe when she was like in high school, she had this bottle of windshield wiper fluid in the trunk. But because it was like a hatchback, it wasn't really a trunk. Anyway, the thing used to roll around all the time. It would like thump all over the place. So we called it Lloyd. It was the body in the trunk. Its name was Lloyd. So I don't know why they picked George instead of Lloyd. I think Lloyd's a better name for an unknown thing. Go ahead.
You want to hear a joke?
Only if I can tell one after.
Sure. So this group of people is in a bar, right? And they're all introducing themselves to each other. And one's like, oh, I'm a park ranger. So I drive a ranger, like a Jeep ranger. Mm-hmm. And then someone else is like, I'm a convict. So I drive an escape. You know, I broke out of jail one time, so I drive the escape. And then there's a proctologist, and he's like, that's so weird because I drive a brown probe.
Very nice. Hers was a blue probe, but I don't know why anybody would buy a car called a probe. That just seems inappropriate. Anyway, okay, my joke.
Okay.
What do you call a cow that just had a calf?
I don't know.
Decaffeinated.
Hey, that's a good coffee joke. I'm going to use that one tomorrow.
I thought you'd like that.
I
also told that to my mom because, you know, she's a farmer with cows. Mm-hmm. She launched into this big explanation about how before a cow has a calf, it's called a heifer. And then after it has a calf, it's called. And I'm like, because I had phrased it as question. What do you call a cow after it has a calf? And then she gave her big, long explanation. And I said, answer. Decaffeinated.
Speaking of your mother, are you at your mother's house right now?
I am.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's much quieter than my house. My mom has also called me and sent me 7 text messages since we've been on here.
Is she okay?
I'm sure she's fine.
Okay.
It's the twins' birthday, so I had to pick up balloons for them. She wants an update. She'll get the update on the podcast, apparently.
There you go.
Okay.
So yeah, George likes to steal scripts, play with lighting, and move the props around. I don't know. I just like I'm vibing on this one. I'm getting the vibe that George is just like forgetful students.
Yeah.
Because there's no backstory to George. Okay. Anyway. So local author Renee Mallett. I think her name is spelled Mallett. It's Mallett. But I kind of like to think her name is pronounced Renee Mallet. But it's 2 T's. So it's Mallett, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She should knock one of those off. Renee Mallet.
You could say Mallet. Put the emphasis on the second syllable instead of the first one.
But that doesn't rhyme.
Why does it have to rhyme?
Renee Mallet rhymes.
But I don't understand. Why would
it's sing-songy.
I know. Why would you want a name that's sing-songy and rhymes? That sounds terrible.
I think that's great. All right. So I would think Renee Mallett, located in Lowell, Massachusetts, wrote a book called Haunted Colleges and Universities in Massachusetts, which if we had found that out before like the last 24 hours, we probably would have bought it.
You know what's funny? In my research, I came across information from her book as well. And I was thinking the same thing. Like I should have got this 2 days ago and just blasted through it.
Yeah.
So I may, in fact, pick it up this week, and then we can do all sorts of other colleges for next year.
Okay. So Haunted Colleges and Universities in Massachusetts with a section on the Bridgewater State University. Quote, most schools tend to either embrace or ignore their haunted histories, Mallett said. Bridgewater seemed to be right in the middle. Mallett also mentions in great detail an overwhelming stench of death in student apartments.
Ew.
I know.
Students, I don't. That might not be the smell of death in their apartments. That might just be the smell that undergrads make.
Yeah. Ew. Students have said they will walk into their apartment and the entire room will smell of rot and death. But no surroundings apartment will have a whiff of anything at all. In 2009, the school actually had a haunted night. In 2009, the school actually had a Halloween night haunted urban legends tour on campus. That's kind of fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a lot of other like Halloween themed things. They do stuff for kids. So I think they have a pretty good sense of, I don't want to say humor, but they acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. That's Bridgewater State University, smack in the middle of the Bridgewater Triangle.
Cool. It's from our houses. You can just head. It's like 20 minutes from here.
Cool.
Head straight down Route 18. It's on the left.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's like a weirdly long drive down there, though. Like I don't know why.
I was considering looking at them to get like a graduate degree or something.
In what?
I really wanted to get one in poetry, but I already have one degree I don't use, so.
I know, right? Like,
that I'm still paying off.
Should we head over to the hallowed halls of Harvard University?
I think we shall.
Okay. I picked Harvard to look into a little bit because it's like the college that everybody thinks of when they think of college, New England, any of that stuff. So good old Harvard University. And I'm not going to speak about it and all of its history nearly as long as Amelia did, because it's been around forever and it pops up in all sorts of pop culture here, there, and everywhere.
I did two sentences of history.
That's okay. No, you talked about their mascot and their colors and all that stuff, which
was two sentences.
Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. As you might believe, they've been around for a long time and they have some ghosts that hang around. So I have five different buildings on the property and just quick ghost stories from each one. So the first one that I want to talk about is the Wadsworth House. So the Wadsworth House gained fame by actually being George Washington's first headquarters in the Revolutionary War.
Oh, cool.
Which surprised me that I didn't know that already. And I was kind of surprised to hear that George Washington had even come to Massachusetts. I thought that he had like never been here.
I was very surprised to hear that too when you just said it. However, it makes sense.
Why?
Because he was in the Revolutionary War.
I know, but we didn't really we had the opening battles up here in Lexington and Concord, but then I don't think that many other like real fighting took place here. It was...
Well, didn't you say it was his first one?
Yeah, it was his first headquarters.
Right. So he started here where it started and then probably moved.
Okay. There's a ghost there.
Is it George Washington's ghost?
No, it's not George Washington's ghost. No. The most famous sighting is actually from 1980. There was a cleaning woman and she was working on vacuuming the floors and she's there by herself and, you know, she's just doing her thing, getting ready. It was like a Sunday morning. And as she's doing her vacuuming, she looks up and coming down the steps is a man in a colonial outfit. He's got one of those tricorn hats on and he just silently walks down the stairs, opens the front door, goes out, closes the front door behind him. And that's it. Like just a crazy sort of like, huh, some colonial ghost just walked down the stairs and right out the front door. And so they think that that one's just a residual haunting.
And they're sure it wasn't a reenactor, right?
Yes.
Because I'll tell you, I dated this guy in high school and I'm really, now he does that. I saw on Facebook.
I think that's really neat.
I don't. I mean, unless one of our listeners does that in case like, yeah, that's really cool and a lot of fun. But yeah, for people who don't know here in New England, especially in Massachusetts, people recreate these battles just for fun.
Yeah, so that's the story at Wadsworth House. The Lowell House has two ghosts that are known to be there. The first one, there was a president of Harvard University. His name was Abbott Lawrence Lowell. And his sister was Amy Lowell, and she was a Pulitzer Prize winning poet. So maybe you would study her if you went to get a master's in poetry.
Ooh.
Right? Okay. So because her brother was the president of Harvard, she spent a lot of time hanging out there. So when she died, her ghost apparently decided that it liked hanging out at the Lowell House. She has been seen in the house, full body apparition. She just kind of walks around, hangs out. And she used to smoke very feminine, thin little cigars. And lots of employees have reported as they're there by themselves, just randomly smelling cigar smoke.
Interesting.
Right? Like, so I got thinking about that a little bit. And I wonder, like, one of the things that I would like to know, and I started thinking about this when we were on the USS Salem too, they said that there tends to be a lot more activity on the boat when it's hot, right? And we went on a cool night. Do you remember them saying that?
Yeah.
And then Tom Reed was also saying when we talked to him last week that, you know, there's more activity, more UFO activity out in Western Mass when it's hot. And so
Did he say that?
He said something along those lines. It had something to do with the temperature because it got me thinking about it again. I wonder how much weather plays into things like this. You know, like when it gets really hot, does like, if you had like cigar smoke in the wallpaper, would that make the scent just kind of like come out of the wallpaper more? Right. You know, I wonder like when it's hot, do people get a little dehydrated and they start to see things that maybe they're not really seeing? Right.
So I am a former smoker and I smoke, as are you.
As am I.
Yeah. So I chain smoked for a very long time and it's horrible. And if you're a young person, please don't smoke. It sucks to quit. But I used to like really smoke when it was hot.
Yeah.
Like if it was like 100-degree day, I would like bang out 2 packs of cigarettes. No problem.
I wonder why.
I don't know. But in the winter, didn't smoke that much.
No, I think I was pretty consistent all year long.
No, I would always smoke at least a pack a day, but in the summer it was like 2 packs. So I can see that. I can see why it might smell. I don't know in regards to all the other things, but you know, that's one thing that could happen with why they would smell smoke in the summer.
You think there just happen to be more people walking around smoking outside and just wafting in?
No, I think the ghost was smoking more in the summer.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just wondering if like the smell just happened to be leaching out of the wallpaper or something just because it was hot. And, you know, these are old buildings, so they don't have central air or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just something that I started thinking about. Anyway, so then we have this other ghost, Elliot Perkins. So he was the former housemaster of the Lowell House from 1942 to 1963. Any idea what a housemaster might do? Yeah, me neither. But his wife was there, and she was also considered a housemaster.
What year was this?
So this is from 1942 to 1963.
But then I don't know.
If it was a different time period, would you have known?
Yes.
Oh. And what time period would that be?
1700s.
Oh, and what would a housemaster have done then?
They would have, like, had slaves and, like, been in charge of the house.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, they lived there for a long time, and then Elliot dies in 1985. Well, he was just one of these gregarious types of people who, like, everybody just loved him. So when his ghost started showing back up there after he died, people were actually happy to see him. Like, nobody, it wasn't like your typical, like, people saw a ghost and they freaked out. People were kind of like, hey, what's going on?
Because did the ghost do, like, keg stands and stuff?
Well, he would show up on Thursdays during their tea time. So apparently every Thursday there's like this big tea time, like they sit and drink tea, not they all go golfing.
Yeah, I know. God bless you, Harvard.
But so yeah, every Thursday at the Lowell House, there was like a big like formal tea, and his ghost would show up to say hello and be part of the big gathering, which I just thought was a really kind of cute story.
That is cute.
All right. So then we have William James. And so William,
never trust a man with two first names.
Jimmy James, the man so nice they named him twice. Did you ever watch that show?
No.
News Radio? I love that.
Oh, show. I did watch that show.
Yeah.
It had I was really young though.
All right. So William James devoted his life to proving that the paranormal actually exists.
Hey, that's like us.
Are we proving it or are we just talking about it?
No, we're proving it. We don't go some spots. We're trying to prove it.
All right. Anyway, so this is sad, right?
No.
Put your sad face on. His infant son died in 1884.
That's horrific.
Yeah. After that, he went to Leonora Piper. She was a medium, and he was looking for her guidance about, like, what to do about, you know, like, his sadness. And he proceeded to visit her on a regular basis for many, many years. And he really studied her. And he was astounded at the amount of things that she knew about him that there was no way she could have known. Like, these were, like, personal things about him. He even went so far as to send people that he knew to go see her. Show up, give her a false name, ask her some questions, and report back to William James. People were reporting back that she knew, like, these crazy things. Like, a guy walks in, gives her a false name, and asks her to tell him what's written on the inside of his wedding ring. And she told him.
Wowie.
Right? Like, how on earth would anybody know that? So he continued to go and see her until he died in 1910, and his ghost is reported to haunt the William James building at Harvard.
Cool.
He's kind of stuck there. And last but not least, so I guess I had four buildings, not five, but I have five stories. Last but not least, we have the Widener Library, because you can never have a university without a library, and you can't have a library without a ghost. So Harry Widener, he actually died April 11th, 1914. Any idea, given that date? Maybe it was 1912. I was supposed to double check my date. Any idea what might have happened around that time? I think it was 1912. April 11th, 1912. Does that ring any bells? A lot of people died that day. In fact... Oh. The opening of Fenway Park in Boston was bumped off the front page of the newspaper in order to report.
1912?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
That the Titanic had sunk.
Oh, okay. Yes.
He was on the Titanic. He died. Very sad. Mm-hmm. His mother established this library in his honor. So that's why it's called the Widener Library. The next year, she had a very lovely portrait done by a very famous French painter hung in the library of her son, Harry. Mm. And so it hung there for almost 100 years. Early in the 2000s, they were doing some renovations in the library, and Harry's picture had to be taken down, and in its place went up this big, ugly piece of plywood. Well, Mama did not seem very happy about that, and she started pushing little objects off of people's desks. She started making lots of noises.
So and the mom was dead, right?
Oh, yeah. The mom is long dead. Sorry. Did I not mention that?
I'm like two glasses of wine in, and now that I said that, I'm thinking back, and I'm like, you said 100 years, so like I should have just...
It's okay. The final straw was when Mom went up and she like... chipped out a bunch of pieces of plaster out of the ceiling and dropped them on people's desks. So nobody was hurt. Nobody got hit by the plaster, but they kind of got the point that Mom was very upset about this. And so they tried to figure out why she would be so upset. And what they ended up doing was taking the portrait, photocopying it, and hanging up a photocopy of Harry on the wall where it should have been. You know, because they didn't want to put the regular picture up there because they didn't want it to get ruined by the renovations going on. Mm-hmm. But once his picture was back up, all of the weirdo stuff all around stopped.
Interesting.
Right? Like
that so is interesting.
They figured it out and all was well. So those are just a couple of quick little stories about some different hauntings going on at Harvard University.
Very cool. My next school is Regis College, and that is located in Westwood, Massachusetts. I chose Regis because it is my grandmother's alma mater, and I'm so stupid. Bridgewater is also my grandmother's alma mater, and I didn't even realize that till right now. My grandmother has a master's degree from Bridgewater.
In poetry?
No, in teaching, special education. So my grandmother has a master's from Bridgewater and she has her bachelor's from Regis. And God bless you, Grandma Ann. You are just the most important person in my life, which is why I put Regis in here. Because my grandmother, and I'm not just saying that, she is the most important woman in my life. So fun fact, you know this, the listeners don't know this, but on my father's side of the family, so this is my paternal grandmother, on my father's side of the family, I'm the first woman born in over 100 years. I was the, in our like direct lineage, I was the only girl born in the 1900s and I was the first grandchild. So my grandmother, who had all sons and all male grandchildren, and I are extremely close.
Aw.
Yeah. So it's nice.
That's very nice.
Yes. I always thought it was really cool too, because I mean, how many grandmothers had, I mean, how many 88-year-old women got college degrees in their 20s?
Not many.
Not many. And she did it. She grew up in Somerville. Quick aside about my grandmother. She grew up in Somerville, very, very poor. They lived in a 2-bedroom house with 5 children. And she went to Catholic girls' school and just worked really, really hard. She worked at the newspaper stand in South Station to pay her way to go to Regis. And she has a degree in chemistry, which she always jokes. It's like, she's like, well, it was an all girls' school and like, you know, yada, yada year. So it wasn't like real science, but she has a degree.
Oh, that's sad.
I know, isn't it? But I mean, she knew enough to, you know, and my grandfather, he was a very good scientist. So yeah, there you go. Okay. Back to the story. So when I looked up Regis College, I found out Regis College is quite haunted, but no one knows why. No one knows where this is coming from. There's no proof. There's no records. There's nothing. And I also chose Regis because I employ a lot of people from Regis College. It's very close to my business. And I miss them all so much because right now they're, you know, online college right now. And Mia, who has been, hi Mia. I think she's going to listen to this episode, who has been working for me for 3 years, actually isn't coming back. And you might be like, oh, that's really sad. She's like, has to do online school. She's missing a semester of college. But where does Mia live? Honolulu, Hawaii.
Stop. Who leaves Honolulu to come to Westwood?
Isn't that crazy? Everyone asks her that. So I always see her on Instagram and I like look at all of her beautiful photos and I'm like, never come back. Also send me there. So anyway.
Well, if you went to Hawaii, would she at least let you stay with her?
Yes, she has offered that before. Okay, and also cool. I do need to connect with her because as you'll remember, I very briefly tried to learn how to play ukulele and her mother is a professional ukulele teacher. So I need to like try to set up like online lessons. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is besides anything. The point is, and I'm so sorry, this is the last time I drink when I'm doing the podcast, but so Regis is very haunted. So for those who don't know, it's a Catholic women's school in Westwood, which is one of the most affluent communities in Massachusetts. I said Westwood again. It's actually Weston. So I work in Wellesley. I have Westwood on one side and Weston on the other side. And Regis is in Weston, Massachusetts, which is, like you said, Beth, it is the W town. It is extraordinarily affluent. Big Poppy just moved out of there. He just sold his house.
David Ortiz?
Yes.
Yes. Very nice.
Big Poppy. Okay. Who I have met multiple times. Did you know that, Beth?
I did not know that.
I've met him multiple times. Okay.
In your shop?
No, I, when I was in college, I worked at Fenway Park. So I met him there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I worked there for 3 seasons. And then, I used to manage all the cafes for the Equinox Health Clubs, which he worked out at, and he used to come and get a smoothie.
Very nice.
Yes.
Nice guy.
Extraordinarily nice.
Beautiful.
I wasn't able to find too much, but as I dug around, I found student accounts of these hauntings online. Okay. And like people, so like they would like have something like, oh yeah, Regis is haunted, blah, blah, blah. And then if you scroll down, you see in the comments section, all these people commenting. So I took some of those. So I think it's very interesting because now we have like the real accounts. Okay, here we go. Summer 2018, I lived on the 4th floor of Regis where the nuns used to live. My friend and I both saw a person-sized black shadow figure cross the hallway about 100 feet away. I only saw it for a second, so it could have been a nun. Accompanying with the figure was a burst of wind that we didn't feel down the hallway that knocked down post-it notes and papers off of cork boards as it traveled down the hallway towards where we saw the figure. On the third floor in the center room, all the lights would flicker.
Wait, so they had a farting?
No, Beth, it wasn't a farter. Stop that. It was a ghost.
It's a different idea of a silent but deadly.
Stop it, Beth. Oh my goodness. Okay, so next one. I have heard a story from a Regis graduate that there was a man who killed himself in Maria Hall. Not too sure how accurate that story is, but supposedly the doors can be seen opening and closing by themselves. The man may have lived in room 226, in which that door is usually the one opening and closing, but other doors on the second floor have done the same. Now, as a reply to that, someone else says, rumors have it in Angela and Dormitilla, a spirit of a girl roams the hall. I have heard that there was a girl in the 70s who had gone missing in the Highland Street Forest. All I could find out was that that girl lived at the end of the second floor. Her roommate had seen her go out but not come back. Voices can be heard periodically, and even the girl reportedly has been seen in the basement as well as on the second floor staircase.
Neat.
Yeah, so it's one person being like, I don't know. But then the other one's like, oh, yeah, no, like over here. So it's just kind of cool. Okay. Then the next one, I went to Regis College in Weston, not Westwood, Massachusetts, and that place is most definitely haunted. I was living in Angela Hall. Regis is not that big, and I am like blown away by how many halls they have there. Like they're talking about all these different dormitories. It's not that big of a school.
Right, but none of these dormitories are very big either. They probably have not 10 people in each.
Like, I went to a school about the same size as them, and we did not have this many. Okay. I went to Regis College in Weston, Massachusetts, and that place is most definitely haunted. I was living in Angela Hall my freshman year, and we had a few encounters on the second floor. What is with all these second floors being haunted? Okay. I always heard stories of the little girl in our hall. One night I was sleeping and had woken up about 3 a.m. for whatever reason and distinctly heard a little girl laughing in the hallway loudly. I know this is a college campus and people are up all the time, but it was distinctly a child for no explanation whatsoever.
Well, I mean, you've seen that, is it a creepypasta? It's a meme or something that there's nothing as joyful as the laughter of a small child, unless it's the middle of the night and you don't have kids.
Absolutely. Another time I was keying into my room. Out of the right of my eye, I clearly saw a ghost apparition to my right at the end of the hall. Many times as well, I heard a little girl laughing and I've heard running down the hall and understand when I heard the running, this was over Thanksgiving break and there was basically no one in my hall. Never could understand why a little girl would be there. Regis is a creepy place. Our last one. Oh my God, I went to that school. I stayed in the old dorm with the elevator. One night they had a blackout at Regis College. That was the night I said no one hung themselves in the elevator. Me and my roommate were stuck in the elevator after that and all the lights and campus went off. They called it the blackout. I moved out of the dorm and to home shortly after. Very haunted. Spooky, spooky, spooky. Watch out, ladies.
Those did seem to be all girl stories.
It's an all-girl school.
Still?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You can always tell when girls are writing because boys never write things that start with OMG. Oh my God. Yeah.
Surprise, coming out of the Catholic girls too.
Oh. All right. So next up is LaSalle University, which only recently became LaSalle University. They were LaSalle College until last year. I want to talk about the Gardner House. I'm just going to talk about one of the haunted locations at LaSalle. So it was built in 1883. It used to be called the Johnson House, but it was renamed in the 1850s. Scratch that. It was renamed in the 1950s after somebody named Gardner, and the details of it are escaping me right now. The third floor and the rear bathroom on the second floor are where most of the paranormal experiences are happening. They're way back in the day, there used to be slaves that were kept in the attic. Slaves who escaped slavery in the South made their way all the way north, only to be recaptured and then imprisoned in the Gardner House. So, and naturally, a lot of them died there. And so it's thought that a lot of these haunted goings on are the spirits of the slaves who had been kept there. Room 7 has the most reports of strange events. And the events that occur at Gardner include objects flying off shelves, whiteboards or corkboards falling from the walls, footsteps, banging noises, doors opening and closing. And one of the more disturbing ones, a girl reported that she was sitting at her desk doing her work in the common room when she felt someone come up and like lift her shirt up in the back and like touch her back. And she just figured it was one of her roommates who were there in the room with her. And so she turned around to be like, "Hey, cut it out." And they're both sitting in their chairs back on the other side of the room, having not moved. And so it was a very disturbing situation for her. So that's LaSalle University. And they do have a lot of haunted buildings. If you look them up, most of their dorms are old Victorian homes from the area there in Newton. And so they do get a lot of different spirit activity going on. And the kids, for the most part, are okay with it. They just know when they move in that this is going to be a thing, and they roll with it. So they are also very excited to tell faculty members about the different haunted things that happen in their dorms. So,
and employers. I've had some LaSalle girls work for me, and they've been like, "I think there was a ghost in my dorm last night." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, probably was."
So what kind of firsthand stories do you have?
They say it's mostly like, it's kind of like Regis, like they hear like running back and forth in the halls, and like a lot of like doors opening and closing, things like that. And one person kept telling me that they heard like knocking on the wall.
Oh, well, I know that when we go and we do ghost hunts, we'll be doing EVPs, and we'll sometimes ask the ghosts like, "Hey, can you knock on this wall here?" Like, maybe we should stop doing that, because maybe they just keep doing it after we leave.
Ooh.
So LaSalle University was just a quick stop on our way to Bradford College from Haverhill, Massachusetts. Now, if you're going to look this up, you're going to type in Haverhill. But those of us that live around here would never say Haverhill.
Never.
We say Haverhill. Yeah. So that's just an interesting little tidbit. Bradford College actually went under in 2000. It's now the North Point Bible College. So Bradford College was established in 1803, and it went co-ed in 1971. It was established as an all-women's college, and it was primarily to educate the wives of ministers and of like wealthy people. When they built the college, they built a whole system of tunnels underneath the college. And you know what happens when there's an abandoned college or an abandoned anything and tunnels underneath it? Man, you're going to get some really weird stories.
Wait, hold on.
What?
When did this place stop being a college?
Well, it's still a college.
But it's a different name, right?
Yeah, now it's North Point Bible College. So it's still there.
No, I know. But when we were sitting at the episode, you were like, "Yeah, I'm doing Bradford College." I'm like, "Where is that?" Because I had never heard of it, because it's been around for 20 years.
No, Bradford College was from the 1800s. It hasn't been around for 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't understand where you're going with this.
I was saying, where is that? Because I hadn't heard of it. And I was like, that's weird that there's a college I haven't heard of. But now it's making sense to me that it's not a college presently. That's why I haven't heard of it.
Gotcha. All right.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. They built the tunnels originally so that the very fancy rich ladies who were going there, when the weather was bad, they didn't have to go outside. They could use the tunnels to travel from one building to another. Which is interesting. So if you're ever at UMass Boston, have you ever been out to the campus on Columbia Point?
Yeah.
So you know how they have the catwalk?
Yeah.
So from building to building, they've built this catwalk. It's on the second floor. And you can get all the way from the library at one end down to the campus center at the far end of the campus. And you never have to go outside so long as the catwalk is in good shape. Sometimes they close it down. It's weird. But anyway, the weather around here can get really bad. And in the winter, you know, like you don't want to be walking around outside. It can be painful. And it can be very icy. So that's why there are tunnels. The big claim to fame of Bradford College is that supposedly H.P. Lovecraft hid the original version of the Necronomicon in a tunnel when he was dating a woman there in the 1920s.
Ooh.
So it's supposedly in a sealed tunnel under a pond. I don't know why they would have built a tunnel under a pond. That seems like a little bit too much work for me. But I did read an article really quickly that was kind of, it was very skeptical of this. You know, first of all, it was the idea that the Necronomicon doesn't even exist. It's a completely fictional work that's just referred to in other works. So that particular text was never written. The other thing that it called into question was the idea that H.P. Lovecraft would have been dating anyone, that apparently he was not somebody interested in carrying on with other people. And when he met his wife really had to like talk him into getting married and spending any time together. And it was a very short marriage. He was far more interested in his literatures. It's just thought that maybe that text might be hidden underneath the pond in one of the tunnels, and that perhaps some of the haunted happenings that happen around the pond are the devil visiting his text between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. every night. So that's an idea that's out there. Another
now
thing
it's
that
a Bible college.
Yeah, now it's a Bible college. Isn't that great? Mm. So another thing that I found a bit of about Bradford College is there seems to be a story that's been recycled a lot of times. Mm. So the basic original story seems to be about a woman named Amy. She was a young woman who was attending college there, and one of the priests took a liking to her, and she took a liking to him, or maybe not. But anyway, she ends up pregnant. And as the story goes, then she dies. And was it suicide? Did the priest murder her?
Probably the second one.
Probably, but you know, you never know, especially like back in the day, like the shame of it would have fallen all on the woman. And so she might very well have killed herself to avoid that. I was in hollowhill.com. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of them?
No.
So they seem to be paranormal explorers, and they went and did a whole series of investigations at Bradford College, and they like published their reports. And so I was reading through them, and they were kind of interesting. They found a lot of different things at a lot of different places.
Cool.
They got the sense when they were running into certain people that there was like, they saw this woman running by, and the sense that the author got was that she was, you know, afraid of being raped. And so like, as she went running by in the tunnel, that was the exact feeling that the author felt coming off of her. And so I feel like that would have been probably an ongoing issue at some of these colleges, the older colleges that were primarily built for women, that this would have been something that went on, and it's really sad. So that story seems to have gotten caught up and really kind of morphed into a lot of different stories along the same lines, that there was a risque relationship that happened. It resulted in a pregnancy, and then somebody either killed themselves, or they murdered the pregnant woman, or maybe they murdered the woman after the baby was born, murdered the baby too. And sometimes it was a professor who was the one who was pregnant, knocked up by a student, you know. And it's just,
ooh.
So it seems like there was either a lot of illicit sex and murder at Bradford Probably. College, or there was one story that everybody just kind of put their own spin on. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then the last story that I want to tell is actually, I called it the Flashing Red Ghost. So in October of 1979, Larry, Ray, and a couple of others, they dropped some acid. Their plan had been that they were going to take some acid and they were going to just hang out outside for the day and for the evening and just, you know, enjoy their acid trip. But the weather didn't cooperate because it's the 70s and, you know, like forecasting wasn't a really accurate science. And so the weather turned bad and they ended up in Ray's dorm room. as Ray's acid starts to take hold, he starts getting more and more agitated. And he's seeing this flashing red light, and nobody else can see it. And he starts getting very angry at all of
acid.
Well, he starts getting angry at his friends about the fact that they can't see it. And his friends are like, all right, dude, like, we've had enough of you. And so they leave him alone in his room. And like, they go off to continue their good time. So he starts getting more and more upset. And a couple of hours go by and he's screaming uncontrollably. And he has to be taken from his room down to the medical center at the college. Well, he never came back to his room. He actually left the college after that. His father came in a couple of days later, collected up all his stuff, and that's the last they ever heard of Ray. So fast forward a year later, now it's 1980. What's this next guy's name? Greg. He hears the story about Ray. And he's like, whatever, like that's bogus. Like that didn't happen. Nothing like that. Greg laughs it off, and about 3 weeks later, he's in Larry's room, right? And as he's leaving, he sees on the door this red flash that comes up and says, "Welcome back, Ray," and then it vanishes. And of course, nobody else saw this thing, but he was like, "Oh, that was weird," right? Things just kind of start to get a little bit weird. A couple of nights later, Greg wakes up to his neighbor in the next room just yelling and shouting. You can't really make out what the neighbor is talking about, but there's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of noise. So it turns out that the neighbor was seeing a flashing red light that no one else could see.
Hmm.
And he was getting, again, very agitated about it. And so time goes on and, you know, the neighbor ends up leaving school as well. And then other students, you know, Greg starts hearing stories. Other students keep seeing these flashing red lights. And then suddenly Greg starts seeing the flashing red light, like out of the corner of his eye. It's just popping up, like, you know, in lots of different places that he goes. And it's upsetting him so much. His grades end up like tanking right through the floor, and he ends up dropping out of college. And so he wonders if that "Welcome back, Ray" message was really a premonition that Greg was going to end up dropping out as well, based on just like this, I don't even know what you would call it, just this annoying sight that he keeps seeing. And it's just freaking him out all day, every day. So That's my final story about Bradford College in Haverhill, Mass.
Spooky.
Yes.
Quite spooky.
So go to school, kids, and just remember the college that you end up at may have a ghost. It's probably going to have a ghost. You should find it.
Yeah, probably will.
Talk to people, especially people that have been there for a long time, because they'll know where to go look.
Yeah.
Or listen. Or duck.
Good episode. All right.
Yeah. We have some mail. We have some messages. We have some stuff. It's almost like we're back into like our podcast routine here.
We do. We got stuff. Do we want to do messages or reviews first?
I don't remember which one we usually did first.
Yeah, I'll do reviews first because they're quick. Right. Okay. Our first is from Jen K. Thanks, bye. Title, "You guys are the best." So glad you're back. Looking forward to season 3. Well, thanks so much, Jen. I don't know for sure. I think that this is Jen from Maine, who sends our stories all the time. I'm not 100% about that, but thank you. Oh, we have a corrections corner. Corrections corner. So remember a few weeks ago, we had our review from Mama Smith Pa.
Mm-hmm.
She reached out to the show. Her username is Mama Smith PA. She's from Pennsylvania.
Oh, excellent.
So thank you so much. Okay, next review.
Do you think we have listeners in all 50 states yet?
I know we have listeners in quite a few of them.
Do you have demographics on?
I have not been keeping track, but I do know that there's more than I would think. I have not seen Alaska come up yet. I have seen Hawaii.
Well, Mia lives in Hawaii.
She was here when that happened. We've been in Hawaii for a year.
So you know that my sister and my nephew, well, two of my nephews and a niece all live in Hawaii too?
Maybe they're who's listening to it.
Maybe.
Maybe it's someone we don't know. Like,
hey, if you're the person listening to us from Hawaii, write in.
So when I look at the demographics, I can only see the top 10 at any given time. And then it's like for like states and cities and stuff, it's like 90% of it you can't see at all. It's like 90% unknown, but then it shows me all the other ones. We have a big following in Tennessee.
In Tennessee? Somebody write in with a ghost story from Tennessee, please.
Hit us up. Next review is from TC1135. Welcome back. Glad to have you both back. Enjoying the new content, as always. Keep it up. Thank you, TC1135. We really appreciate that.
We're glad to be back, and we're glad to have you listening.
Yeah.
What was I looking for? I was looking for a message that came through on Instagram.
Instagram, my favorite.
Were you going to sing?
Yeah.
Did you want to like do like a whole song about it?
Instagram is so great. I love it so much. And please follow us at Ghost Hunting in New England. Ghost Hunting in New England.
Remember back in season one, the time that I sang? This was better.
Thanks. Hey, thanks. That's really nice.
All right. Jerry sends us a message on Instagram. I found you on Spotify today because I was searching for stories about my hometown, Griswold/Jewett City, Connecticut. I listened to your podcast about Connecticut hauntings, and at the end, you had a story about a railroad worker that sent you a picture. That was a really creepy picture.
It was. For those who want to go back and see it, it is the cover photo on our Facebook still, and it was sent to us by Kung Fu Sun on Instagram.
It's the cover page on our Facebook?
Yeah.
Really?
Facebook friends with the guy who sent it in.
You're Facebook friends with everybody.
Yeah, add me on Facebook.
Yeah, they all know you.
All right, great.
It's because you have like a whole name.
I do.
I'm going to show you some pictures that you probably won't believe are real, but two of my coworkers saw it in person. So I do underground utility work, and we're currently working in Western Mass. I came up on this job, and I look all around for anything that might be a problem. Site lighting, buried cable for satellite, stuff that isn't marked out by DigSafe. First, I looked up to see where the satellite was and saw this from this angle.
Ba-da-da.
Do you want to describe this picture?
Yes, it is now up on our social media, but it is a window that has a ghostly apparition on it. It looks like it could be like mildew made out of it. It's like, okay, here's what it is. Think of your Mary Magdalene like watermarks, right? Or your Jesus watermarks. It's that, but instead it's a ghoul.
Yes, it is. It like the face is very clearly defined. And yeah, it looks almost like somebody like hung a Halloween costume in the window. It has very clear definition to it.
Yes.
And then it says, so we were creeped out and I had to take a picture to show my wife. So we did what we had to do. And I had this eerie feeling as I was cleaning up the house and I saw this.
Which is another one. And it's like the same thing, but it's like more defined.
Yes, and clearer and bigger. And it looks very menacing. It has like really dark eyes and it appears to be like scowling out the window.
And it's almost like it almost looks like it's like creeping. Like you saw it like halfway through a creep.
Yes, absolutely. That's a good way to describe it. The hair stood up on the back of my neck and I couldn't wait to get out of there. This was on the Sandusfield line. Should I continue?
No, I think, you know, then we went back and forth with him a few times and got some really good information. And he actually, at Beth's request, went back and took another photo of it, which is also spooky. And the it's still there, which is wild. And I really appreciated it. I saw this message first and I was like, holy moly.
Yeah, I got a very urgent text message that was, you have to go on the Insta and read the message. Go now. Yes.
And that's all I said to her. And yeah, that was cool.
It was very cool. Thanks for sending that, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. That was great. Do we have anything else?
I don't have anything else.
I have one more thing. Can I show you the present I got you that I've been like saving and I really want to show you?
Okay.
Great.
I don't know exactly what this is. She just walked off to get it. I figured it would probably have been like right there out of my sight, but she's coming back. It's small. It fits in one hand. She's looking very smug. She's putting her headphones back in.
Okay. So I got Beth a present and then Beth had to go out of state. And so she had to be a little quarantined. And now
my COVID test came back today and it's negative. So I can leave my house.
I still have not seen her. And I am very anxious because I got this really cool gift and I haven't been able to give it to her. And I think it's really awesome. And I just want to show you now. Okay. So it's a coffee mug, right?
It's a coffee mug, my favorite.
And can you read what it says?
When we're together, every night is Halloween.
Oh, really cute, right?
That's so cute.
Look at this.
I got us both one.
We're witches on the back and it shows our bums and I look skinny and it has my name and her name.
And it's so cool. Yeah! Isn't that a cool gift?
That is so cool. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Fun. It just like, it showed up on my Facebook, you know, like those Facebook ads, yep. It's like customize a Halloween mug for your friend. And I was like, oh my God. So I got a matching one. So that's our gift.
That's so cool. If your cafe ever opens to people being able to sit there and eat again, we'll have to sit at a table and drink out of our matching mugs.
Yes, definitely.
I'll be in there for my Milky Way latte.
All right.
Yeah. I actually got you something while I was in South Carolina too. But I don't have it here with me.
All right. That's okay.
So, yeah. Contact?
Yes. You can find us online at ghosthuntinginnewengland.com, Instagram at ghosthuntinginnewengland, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginnewengland, on Twitter, ghosthuntingne, or send us an email at ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. If you're going to send us a recording of your drive by ghosting, please make sure to keep it under 3 minutes. And as always, leave us a review, please. 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars.
And make sure that you subscribe as well, because there may or may not be some bonus episodes coming out soon, and we're not going to announce them. You just want them to drop right into your listening queue. Like, how cool would that be on like a random Tuesday to be like, oh, there's a new podcast.
There's a new GHNE.
Yeah.
What up?
And it could be very interesting. Who knows?
Who knows?
It could be a report of my ghost tour through Charleston, South Carolina.
Or something more likely to get you to subscribe.
No, not like a report, but it could just be like, hey, here were some of the cool stuff. It could be ghost hunting on location.
Ew. All right. Well, do we have anything else tonight, Beth?
You know, one of the things that I kind of miss from season one is when we would give out our great restaurant etiquette advice. So I think that tonight for restaurant etiquette advice, I am going to say, if you are eating out in a restaurant and your server comes over to your table to talk to you, put your mask on too.
Put your mask on your face. Put it on your face. If the server is over there, they honestly,
it's just polite.
As everyone knows, I own a very small restaurant and we don't even have indoor seating right now because people aren't doing that. But yeah, you should do that indoor, outdoor, anywhere, because we're people too. Waitresses right. are people too. And if you're supposed to keep it on 6 feet from people, that includes your waitress.
Yeah.
Also, if restaurants have specific instructions on their door, please read them. Okay. Anything else, Beth?
It's fundamental.
What'd you say?
Reading. It's fundamental.
So basic. Mm-hmm. So basic. All right. Do we have anything else?
Nope.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. And as always,
happy hunting.